Many soldiers returning from Iraq and Afghanistan will be diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, but although the term is fairly new, the condition isn't. Over the history of war, PTSD has been called and sometimes dismissed as shell shock, combat fatigue, and even hysteria. The toll war takes on soldiers and their loved ones is the subject of a new HBO documentary film called War Torn, 1861 to 2010, which debuts tonight. And joining me now are the film's co-director, producer John Alpert, and producer Matt O'Neill. Between them, they have won something like 18 Emmy Awards, numerous Academy Award nominations, and much more. And I'm very pleased to welcome them to today's first Backstory segment. Hi.
Hi, Lenny. Thanks so much.
In the film, you examine PTSD throughout history, starting with letters written by a Civil War veteran right up to the interviews you do with people who have fought in Iraq and Afghanistan. Are the stories of what happens to soldiers basically the same throughout the decades?
Well, I'm not sure when we started we knew that, but Sheila Nevins, the president of HBO Documentaries, said, let's make a film about post-traumatic stress. And as we look back in history to basically our amazement, the way in which soldiers described their experiences with war and what happened after they came home in the Civil War, World War One, and actually going back to wars in Greece, exact same thing.
So it would have been the same during the Crusades, the Hundred Years' War, the American Revolution, the Napoleonic Wars?
The show opens with a quote from Homer, and that shows that it's been around forever. Herodotus wrote about post-traumatic stress. He didn't call it that, but he had a warrior he profiled that he nicknamed the Trembler, who went on to kill himself.
So is that one of the typical symptoms of PTSD?
Well, the thing that keeps you alive in the battlefield, being constantly alert, being ready to respond with violence, these things are inappropriate when you come home. And the soldiers find it difficult to adjust. The thing that actually can make them into a good soldier and to some degree a good warrior is against the things that we have to do when we conduct our lives back in the United States.
Because they're thinking about surviving at all times. And they just don't know how to – they just can't relax. Is that it? Or is it that they've been taught to kill and nobody ever teaches you how to unkill?
Well, that's a quote from the film.
I know. Inspired by your film.
Thanks, Letty.
But it's that part of returning. You know, in the piece about World War One, the quote is home, but not home at all. And then again, in a current piece with the Frost family in El Paso, Texas, his wife says, back, he's back, but not back at all. Somehow war stays with you, and it's always in the back of your mind, and you always feel like someone's right behind you.
Many of them have terrible nightmares about their experiences on the battlefield, but in some cases, they think that they're experiencing a war zone situation when they're doing something as benign as walking through a Walmart.
It's true, because if they're in a crowded situation, they might think that they're in a square in Baghdad in which everybody who is around them is a potential threat. If you were to open up the phones right now to veterans returning and you ask them, when you go into a restaurant, where's the one place you have to sit? Every single person will tell you, back to the wall. They can't be in a public place without thinking that everyone's a threat to them. Now,
could they just drive down a road without looking?
No, it's tough because they're
IEDs?
Used to going down the middle of the road. They think that anything on the side of the road is an ID. Traffic signs, to come to a stop makes you vulnerable. These guys come back and they're racking up tickets left and right. They're driving 60 miles down the middle of the road in El Paso.
We talked to one mother whose son racked up $15,000 worth of speeding tickets in his first 3 months back from Iraq.
You have some footage of soldiers returning from World War One who twitch uncontrollably. Is that something we've been seeing more recently as well?
Billy Frost, who is the final segment of the documentary, when he goes to Walmart, after 5 minutes, he's twitching uncontrollably and he's stuttering.
I wonder about veterans who wind up in jail. Do you think that even though they've committed a crime, that there may be a PTSD aspect to it?
I think there's often a PTSD aspect to it. And the case that you see in this film of Nate D'Amigo, there was a comorbidity basically with PTSD, mourning the death of two of his buddies, and alcohol abuse. And when you mix that all together, you're going to wind up in bad situations. And sometimes it's felonies and sometimes it's misdemeanors.
Several World War II veterans spoke to you about what they'd experienced the first time they'd ever spoken about it. And we're talking about 7 decades later. Are sufferers of PTSD reluctant to talk about their conditions on the whole?
There was a stigma attached to this for generations. It goes all the way back to the beginning of our military. You were supposed to be tough, you were supposed to be resilient, and you weren't supposed to be bothered by anything. Otherwise, you weren't a good soldier. But when you see the things on the battlefield, if you're a human being, a normal human being, it really bothers you.
Well, how much is it the result of just being under constant stress? Because I've heard that an estimated 10% of returning vets suffer from one tour of duty, but then that goes up considerably after they've done more than one tour.
The Army says that it's about 30%. That's the sort of official stance right now.
30%? One-third?
30% are suffering from PTS or PTSD. And the VA, you know, we've had about 2 million people serve in Iraq and Afghanistan. They've had more than a quarter of a million people, a quarter of a million veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan seek treatment for psychological issues and mental health at the VA. This is something that it's enormous numbers.
Now, are there specific triggers that we know for PTSD, or is this just something that we can expect to happen in any kind of war zone?
I think it's a handmaiden to war. And what was interesting is HBO and the Pentagon, in something that I thought I would never see, hosted the premiere screening of this film with all the big generals and admirals there at the Pentagon watching this. And afterwards, there was a discussion. There was a Medal of Honor winner on the stage from Vietnam. And he looked out of the crowd and he says, okay, you're talking maybe it's 10% post-traumatic stress, 30% post-traumatic stress, and he pointed to each one of the highest-ranking officers in our military, and he says, you all know it's 100%, and they all nodded their heads.
And then somebody in the film says the entire family comes down with PTSD.
Yeah, and that's something that we really need to pay attention to because, yes, our service members need mental health and mental help, but their families do too, and we have to make sure that therapists are available through the VA for veterans' families, through the Army for enlisted members' families.
We're talking with John Alpert and Matt O'Neill about War-Torn, 1861-2010, an HBO documentary film made in association with Attaboy Films, which is
Jim Gandolfini.
So James Gandolfini, he's not a veteran, is he?
He's not, but he spent a lot of time in Iraq and Afghanistan. Even before he began working on this on his own personal initiative, he's been in the war zones, and he's trying to understand the effect on our men and women at war. And to some degree, he's lent his celebrity to try and work with them and find out what their concerns are.
That's why he appears in the film.
He is. And what's interesting is that even though he's never met these soldiers, they feel like they know him. They've seen him every Sunday come into their living room. They think he's a big tough guy just like them. And they also feel his sincerity. So they talked in a way that was really open because there's still a stigma associated with post-traumatic stress.
Well, if we know that more than one tour is going to raise the possibility of PTSD, then why are we sending these soldiers back to Iraq and Afghanistan 4 and 5 times?
Why do you ask that question again? Let me ask it again. I mean, this is a question, and it was discussed in the forum at the Pentagon. On stage at the Pentagon, one of the fellows said that his friend had seen the film and said, well, we're talking about why do we have post-traumatic stress? What's the incidence of post-traumatic stress? Why don't we start asking ourselves, why do we keep sending our men and women to war? We know that if you go to war, you're going to have people that suffer from post-traumatic stress.
But you can also cut down on it by not sending them back again and again. Well, we're doing that because we have a volunteer army.
Yeah. Is your hand up in the air to go? You know.
Well, I'm a little slow.
Oh,
now.
I don't know about
I've
that.
I've slowed
lady.
Down, John. When I was a kid, who knows? One of the mothers you spoke to in the film, whose son killed himself, points out that the military trains people to be killers. I mentioned that earlier in war zones, but then doesn't untrain them when they come home. So are there ways to deprogram someone who's gone through this kind of experience?
I think that we need to start pouring research dollars and energy into figuring that out because there's so much time that goes into training someone to be an effective warrior. And part of that, you know, if there's one encouraging thing that we learned through this film, it's that the act of killing, you know, combat, tends to really hurt most people psychologically. So if you talk about our common humanity, killing somewhere deep inside us is wrong. And so when you try to overcome that and you train someone to be a killer, to be a warrior, you have to bring them down. You have to reintegrate them into society in an effective way. Otherwise, they're on all the time.
This is something people have been aware of for a while. There was a film with Robert Redford and John Saxon some years back about a guy who just can't stop killing after I think it was either the end of the Korean War or the Vietnam War. But it was and he said, well, you know, I was a hero one day and now suddenly I'm a bad guy.
Right. And you know, what are you doing? You're putting the cat out, you're mowing the lawn, and you're starting to wonder, are these heroic deeds compared to what you were doing when you were overseas?
Are there effective ways of treating PTSD? Are there medications, therapies?
Actually, if you go to the HBO website, hbo.com, there's a list of resources that can help you, families, and communities get treatment. And I hope that you guys will link to it because there's lots of people out there, hundreds of thousands, that need to get in touch with this.
Well, are things better now because we're more aware of this? Is the military more sensitive to this situation?
In the film, you see two people who are serving right now in Iraq talking with Jim about their post-traumatic stress. And I don't think that would have happened 2 years ago. And John and I have spent a lot of time over in Iraq and Afghanistan and a lot of time with the military. And, you know, in 2005 when we made Baghdad ER, no one was casually talking about post-traumatic stress disorder. Very few people I met brought it up in themselves like this was a problem that I was having. And here we are sitting in Baghdad and these young men feel comfortable addressing these issues. And I think that's a start. That's a start in shifting the culture. You have to shift the culture.
What was interesting is when we did Baghdad ER, there were two things that was off limits. Prisoners of war that we couldn't film because of the Geneva Conventions, and we couldn't cover anybody that had psychological illness. They stopped us from doing it. And now the Army is encouraging people to talk about it. That's a big deal.
Well, what about civilian doctors? Somebody is twitching or having some other problem, having suicidal thoughts. Doesn't go to the military hospital, goes to a local doctor. Are they being told how to deal with this?
I think training and awareness is really important. You know, post-traumatic stress has only been an official diagnosis since about 1980, so it's still fresh. And a lot of the research that's gone into it doesn't necessarily have to do with combat. It has to do with sexual assault or sexual trauma. And people are beginning to be trained on these issues.
What about civilian contractors who spend time in a war zone? Are they also experiencing PTSD?
I would imagine since they're there for companies that only care about money and are trying to make money, they might be neglected. The Army is making a commitment to this, but it's really a commitment that they're forced to make because they have so many people that are in trouble and they want to have these people be able to go back to the war zones, and right now they can't.
But they do get different kind of training than soldiers.
I guess so. I mean, some of the things that our society in general has always had a stigma against mental illness versus physical illness. It's an invisible illness, and even reporters like us, I never talked about any of the things that I experienced because I didn't want somebody to say, oh, you have a problem, and I wouldn't be able to go back. I wanted to go back.
Mm-hmm. And post-traumatic stress doesn't necessarily mean that you're suicidal or you can't stop killing or you can't stop twitching. Post-traumatic stress manifests itself in all sorts of different ways. And one of the things I learned through this project was that it's not – a diagnosis that means you're destined to be crazy. It's something that you can deal with, something that you can build on, something that can be treated. And we all, by paying attention to it, paying respect to it, and being sensitive to our veterans can help.
Well, I'm thinking back to the story during World War II when General Patton slapped a soldier suffering from what was then called combat fatigue. And many people thought that he was perfectly justified in doing that sort of thing. So I guess we've come a long way since then.
And I think that the soldiers who are suffering from post-traumatic stress are every bit as heroic and as good soldiers as people who don't get scarred like this. And sometimes it's the best soldiers, the people who are most human, who have difficulty dealing with these situations that they see.
One father you spoke to, whose son Jason killed himself, had to file 15 Freedom of Information Act requests to find out what happened to his son. Why was it so hard for him to get basic information like this? Is that information covered by FOIA?
Well, ultimately it was. He had help from his local congressman, and that's how he was successful. But he began his initiative to find out the circumstances around his son's death during the time when the Army was still covering up and not dealing with post-traumatic stress effectively. We saw this gentleman talk with General Casey, who's the head of the Army, and General Casey promised that he would be attentive to the needs of this particular case and to all needs.
Well, John, you talked about going into stressful situations over the course of your career. The both of you have been to Iraq any number of times. Have you thought about the possibility of PTSD in your lives?
I've been affected. There are certain songs I hear in the radio that 10 years ago I wouldn't be crying when I heard it. I'll cry when I hear that. Came back from Baghdad, ER. Couldn't go fishing anymore. Don't like to walk in the woods because every time I've been walking in the woods has been in military conflict. And so, hey, let's go for a walk in the woods. No, thank you.
And when you see some of the things that you see in a war zone and in combat, you can't walk away unchanged. I think you're changed forever. And that's one of the questions, you know, is that post-traumatic stress disorder? When you flinch, when you hear fireworks, is that PTSD? Or is it part of the psychological baggage of war that deserves a different label? I don't know.
And what's interesting is even though I know that it's affected me, I want to go back because I feel that because I know how to be a war reporter and have done this and have HBO ready to broadcast these reports, it's my duty to help the American people understand the consequences of war.
Well, some journalists have even talked about the addictive aspect of war, the just being in those dangerous situations.
I'm not addicted to it. I hate it, but I go.
You hear again and again talking with service members the desire to go back. And in part, it is, you know, when you first come back from a combat zone, or I felt this way, it does seem like the whole world is in black and white because the stakes don't seem as severe, things aren't as loud, you're not in this hyped up, super vigilant, you know, super stakes world. And so that transition's really hard. And so whether it's addictive, I don't know, but I think that both service members and reporters do deal with this contrast between a war zone and back home.
The film shows tonight on HBO, and then I'm assuming many other times. But it's showing tonight because today is Veterans Day. And some people who think that this is a time to honor soldiers would consider this to be a bad time to talk about PTSD.
I haven't heard anybody say that. The military certainly doesn't think so. And in fact, this film is being played with a collaboration between HBO and the military on Armed Forces Radio and Television. It's being streamed. I think that in the end, every person in our armed forces is going to watch this film, and it'll really help start the conversation that we need to have about post-traumatic stress.
Well, it's on tonight at 9 p.m. on HBO, and we'll put links to anything that you have suggested, and also we'll also put the schedule on our show page at WNYC.
We really appreciate it, Lenny. Thanks so much.
And my great thanks to both of you for being with us. I've been speaking with John Alpert and Matt O'Neill, who are have directed and produced this film, this very powerful film called War Torn, 1861-2010.
Thanks, Lenny. It was a team effort, and we really appreciated being part of the team.
Thanks.